The Pentagon is still awaiting official orders from President Trump after he tweeted last week that transgender people will not be allowed to serve in the military. The president says the military cannot afford the medical costs and the disruption to unit cohesion. The transgender community is vowing to fight back, including Dr. Christine McGinn. She's a transgender woman and a plastic surgeon who specializes in gender reassignment surgery at the Papillon Center in Pennsylvania. She's also a former Navy flight surgeon. Dr. McGinn, welcome. And in light of all of this, you are offering free surgery to transgender service members. Why?
Well, I'm just offering to help active duty service members, because I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I don't think there's going to be that many people. And as long as I'm able to help out, I have no problem doing that, because these service members deserve care. This isn't a social engineering experiment. This is evidence-based medicine. And, you know, I'm a physician, and I just feel like, you know, there aren't a whole lot of people that do what I do, and I have no problem taking care of our own.
Well, let's get to the cost of that surgery then, because that's the fundamental part of what the president is saying is wrong with having transgender troops in the military. How much does one of these reassignment or confirmation surgeries, as they're also called, cost?
Well, there are different ways to talk about this. The RAND study has studied this issue in the military and is quoting $2.4 to $8.4 million per year. And that is in stark contrast to the $49 billion that it costs for healthcare for all military members. When you ask me that question, you know, one surgery in the civilian world isn't the same as the cost of a surgery in the military world, because you're performing the surgery in-house, or you could possibly perform the surgery in-house. And that's the other thing that, you know, I would be willing to do, is to train military surgeons to be able to perform this. And so the cost is, you know, not the same as it would be on the outside. But since you asked the question, the cost of the surgery varies from where you are, what state you're in. But, and you're asking me the cost of the surgery. Well, you have to remember that there are several different surgeries we're talking about. So this is a difficult question to answer. But I think what you're getting at is how much is a vaginoplasty. So a vaginoplasty is $21,500 for the entire cost of it. So that includes pre-op care, post-operative care, the hospital stay, the anesthesia stay, the surgical fee, the whole 6 month or so treatment of follow-up.
So do the math there then. The estimate from RAND is that between 2,000 and 11,000 service members are transgender. It could be as high as 15,000. It's hard to know. Some of those are your patients. How have they responded to the president's announcement?
Well, I think going back to the RAND study, that they are estimating between 25 and 130 service members per year would be in a position where they were requiring surgery. So not every service member needs surgery. You know, some of them have had surgery, some of them don't want surgery, and some of them won't need surgery for a year or two. So again, the numbers are confusing.
And the patients that you have who are active members of the military, when you talk to them about this, what are they telling you about how they're feeling now?
They're telling me that it's not a big deal. I mean, their command is accepting of them. They have been part of a unit for a very long time. And, you know, I've been asking people, because I'm curious as well, is how's this going? And from a command level, it hasn't been an issue. President Obama studied this and created the whole policy around it, and it had been working fine. People have been having access to therapy and to hormones, and the last piece of it was the surgical part. And from what I understand, since this came into effect about a year ago, it takes a year to ramp up to the point where somebody would need surgery. So where we are now, that's exactly where we are. And the timing of this tweet is exactly when people were about to have surgery. So they feel like they had the rug pulled out from under them, and they're not sure what they're going to do. And they're getting mixed messages between their command and the military. And, you know, then you get this tweet from the top and without any specifics. So it creates a tremendous amount of stress and a blow to morale, for sure.
And it's already got to be a stressful situation, right? I mean, having a reassignment or a confirmation surgery is an emotional thing to go through, I imagine. Does it add any complexity when the patient is in the military?
Well, yes, because I think there's a tremendous... I mean, look at the history of the way military has treated LGBT folks. I mean, and just now, I think we were just making progress with the ridiculousness of don't ask, don't tell, and people feeling okay to just be themselves, which I would think would make them a better service member because they're not preoccupied. So obviously, yes, definitely. And if you add to it the things maybe people don't really think about, like what if somebody was serving for 18 or 19 years and was getting ready to retire, and the government says it's okay to you know, seek treatment for being transgender, and then as a result of that, you will now be kicked out and lose your retirement, which is, you know, we don't know how this is all going to fall out, but, you know, we're leaving these folks hanging.
Right. Well, the bigger point that the critics will point to is that the military and the United States government should not be the ones who are responsible for paying for these treatments, these therapies. Could you make the argument the other direction for why the United States government should be responsible for it?
Well, we should never be in the business of refusing medical care for our service members. It's very simple. I don't think there is an opposite argument. You know, this isn't, I think people have the wrong, they have this idea of Corporal Klinger and MASH or something, somebody walking around, you know, these are people who have been performing their duties for their whole career. And this is a medical issue. This isn't a choice and this isn't a social experiment. It's a medical issue. And that's recognized. We have consensus in the medical community on that.
The Family Research Council, it's a conservative group that is very much in favor of the president's announcement, says that the economic cost, what hasn't been taken into account, is the lost time that it takes to recover from one of these surgeries. And that, they say that could add up to billions of dollars over the course of a decade. What do you say to that?
Well, again, I go back to, you know, many service members aren't going to have surgery. Many, you know, I told you the number was between 25 and 130. I offered to do, you know, free surgery a week ago. We've only had 15 requests so far. So, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. This is not burdensome. It's a drop in the bucket compared to what we're spending on trips to Mar-a-Lago and security at Trump Towers and all these other superfluous things.
Well, and there's also critics within the military. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs said that he will wait for an official order from the president before making any changes to current policy. In other words, he's not going to respond to a tweet. This week, 56 retired generals and admirals publicly opposed the president's decision. Do you think that there's a chance that this is all a bluff, that this will not happen?
Well, what the military is defending is equal rights and freedom, and this is blatant discrimination. Why would you send a tweet that doesn't allow, you know, a service member even answer the phone who, you know, who's transgender? What if somebody, if your argument is cost or readiness, and somebody isn't having any surgery, and they're not going to be, you know, they will be deployable because they're not having surgery, and they're just coming and saying they're transgender, why would you have a blanket statement that you're going to get rid of all of them out of the whole military? That's indefensible.
Look, I know you don't want to have your offer to provide these surgeries for free put you at the center of this story, but you left the military in 2000, and this was before you or others could serve openly. All this is just, it's got to be personal for you, isn't it?
No, it's based on compassion for people. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, this isn't spite. This is, well, maybe this is reaching across the aisle. Maybe, you know, I'm serious about it. This isn't done out of spite. Like, what if the military takes a look at what I do after a year and I make this offer and they say, wow, that wasn't a big deal. And these people are back and they're finished their surgery and they're working and they had a month or two downtime and here we are. And it wasn't the big brouhaha that everybody thought it was going to be. And maybe that'll open some doors for them to, you know, consider.
Dr. Christine McGinn, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for the story.